Well, that's a good sign. Mic's falling off already. Let's see. Find a new place for that. Everybody doing okay? No, I don't have a spider with me. I'm not going to honk any horns. I'm not going to throw a ball in the air. I'll be turning to what I would say might be a theme verse for today. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And don't stand up yet. We'll do that in just a minute. But just got to thinking about, we've been preaching to some of you guys since you were born. You know, it's really neat to come back and do this. Of course, it was special to come here. I'm honored that Brother Nelson. And Brother Merrick would have come preach for this. I didn't ever preach to teens that much, so we'll have a good time in spite of that. I mean, it's just that we get older, and it's just that our toys are more expensive. That's really the only difference. We're just overgrown juniors. Even God calls us children, so lest we get too smart for ourselves. But it was always special to come here. We'd be homeschooled and so forth downstairs and then hear the planes. We started coming here preaching before there was a fence out here, before 911. And so, man, it was exciting. The kids all run out and watch the B-2s. We actually got to get real close to one time. And then one of the majors that was a pilot, I've still got a signed poster from him. And so it's special to come here, honored. But yeah, I'm getting older. I didn't used to wear glasses doing this. And so last week I was... I guess it was just the week before this one. We were at VBS with Broken Era, and we've kept that meeting going. The Lord just, Brother McIntyre, he don't change much. He just, that's a blessing, right? Just stay the same. And so since we've kind of married into the church, Andrew and grandkids, we're tug of war on grandkids, right, Browns? And so we brought them with us. So 22 years we've been doing the Vacation Bible School at Broken Era. And so now we're preaching to the kids of the kids. So, but I was, we always would walk around the football field, the public school football field. And so I decided, I've been trying to get in shape, Brother Nelson. I decided to invest in health. And so lost 25 pounds. And I don't need a standing ovation on that. I've just been fat for years. But I decided I didn't want to continue being a fat preacher. And so I'm trying to work on that, working out and stuff. And so I even played basketball at family camp. You know, somebody was asking me to help do something. I said, well, I'm going to play in the game. And like, I don't know if I actually played, but I was out there. I was there. And the Tuesday of the VBS, I go up that morning, I walk and kind of jog. I jog a couple of laps. It's getting pretty good. And I'm thinking, this feels pretty good. Second day, same thing. And so then Thursday, I went out and I decided to go up the stairs. Now, one of those days, I did the short side. And Broken Arrow will understand what I'm saying. You see it all the time. But I went the shorts. I just went up and came down walking. I wasn't jogging or nothing. Well, then Thursday, I went all the way up that high side on the stairs. And I thought, man, there's a lot of stairs here. I mean, that's a big football stadium. I guess it's the biggest high school in the state of Oklahoma. I heard something like that. So it's a big thing. And so, the football players are usually practicing at the time of year. So they're out there kind of practicing. And I'm just, you know, going around. So I jog one lap around. Then I walk one. I thought, you know, I feel like I'm stressed out pretty good. And I'm looking at that green field. I think, man, I'd just love to cut a rug across that field. And so I get on one end zone, and I hit it just like I was 19 years old. And, man, it felt good for about 40 yards. And then it didn't feel good. And I thought, okay, I either just keep hitting it hard and collapse in front of all these kids, or I ease down a little bit because my left leg said, you cannot do this anymore. And so I eased the speed down a little bit. I made it to the other end zone, and I said, okay, I'm going to walk back to the church now. No more of this. And then we discovered just yesterday, I've got a bruise. I didn't hit it. I'm telling you. I pulled it, and so we looked it up, and it is a second degree, help me out, stress, muscle What did muscle strength? Okay, it was according to Google, which is always correct. I have a second degree muscle strain from acting like an idiot. So I'm just trying to say, when the midlife crisis start, you know, realize that bodily exercise profiteth little. And I know every little bit helps, but we can get a little too bold for our body. So anyway, let's stand and we'll read our text scripture together. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And so we're going to just stay with the theme this morning. And I've been trying to work on expository preaching through, and we're going to do some of that. I'll give you a text message this afternoon. Never mind, you won't get that unless you're a preacher, but I'll preach through a text. But here we're just going to hop around on this theme and look up some scripture. But your MC here, Brother Nelson, has prayed, and this is what we need. And so we're about to pray again this morning. And you know, we go to a meeting and we hear messages and all of it's part of the structure. We're going to talk about that this morning. But specifics, sometimes we don't remember. But I'm going to ask you to do this. When we pray right now, just say, Lord, I would like a specific. Lord, let your word make a difference that will make a lasting change in my life. And it will. You know, a lot of us hear, but we may not heed. These things that you're hearing today, the preacher, Brother Teeter's going to be preaching, the things you're hearing is going into your brain, but are we heeding it? Are we taking heed? That's different than hearing. So let's say, Lord, we need your word. God, help comes from the Lord. So if we don't, and that's my prayer this morning, unless the Spirit and the word work in our hearts, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So let's pray, God, a specific thing that will help me for the rest of my life. Let's pray that. Heavenly Father, we love you and thank you for opportunity where we've gathered, Lord, for good fellowship and Lord, some time of fun even. Lord, we thank you for these churches that are still standing for you and still being that lighthouse and still standing for the Baptist doctrines. And Lord, I thank you for the privilege of being raised this way, and I thank you that these kids are still doing this. But Lord, I know we can think of a few that should be in this room that are not now. And Lord, I pray that will not be testimonies by the wayside. Lord, we pray for a specific help from your word today, that we can go back to the moment and say, Lord, that day you helped put something in my life that gave me that strong foundation and kept me strong in a time where things were shaky. And the Lord, we love you, and we'll give you glory for what's done now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and be seated. We're going to talk about costly stones here pretty soon, but just my family, we got to collecting rocks back when I was in elementary school. We were cutting through. I guess it was in Missouri there. No, it was just a little south. It was in Harrison, Arkansas. We were on our way to Missouri and stopped at this little place. And my dad is like, what are these? And suddenly we were into rocks. Now, most likely, there's probably several of you in this room that still have a rock from a children's meeting that we had. And Lord, and maybe, and it was my dad. He would get these wholesale and I would give them to kids around the country, and maybe they're reminders of a Bible lesson or a song, you know, that's something that made a difference in your life when you were younger in elementary school. But stones have been set in the Bible as memorials, and so let's look at this, because we're trying to get some structure today. Joshua chapter 4, and we're going to go somewhere. So if you would stay on board. And I'm no joke teller to get attention, but like I said, I'm not going to honk a horn or anything. So just focus and stay on board, and I'll try to do my part to help you. Joshua chapter 4, and they came to the Jordan River. Joshua chapter 4, verse 2, he said, "Take 12 men out of the people of every tribe and command them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 what? 12 what? Stones. And you shall carry them over with you." Now they're picking up rocks out of the Jordan River. But who said to do this? Who said to do this in verse 1? The Lord speaking to Joshua. Who said, take his rock, pick up his rock? Who said it? Come on, I got to know you're in the building here. So the Lord asked them to pick up rocks out of the river. Okay, so they should pick up rocks out of the river. And so they carried them over. In verse 4, Joshua called the young men whom he had prepared, the children of Israel, out of every man a tribe, and he said to them, "Pass over before the ark, your God, into the midst of Jordan, and take up every man a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your what? Children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Answer them." There was a miracle, okay? Waters of Jordan were cut off. They went over on dry ground. It's a memorial for the children of Israel. And I'm kind of skipping through. And so the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan. And he set them up, verse 9, in the place where the feet of the priests bear the Ark of the Covenant, and there they are unto this day. Just some things that we need to set in place, that when you have children, you know, I remember when the Spicers were teenagers. You know, I remember, you know, these guys, and now they have kids in here. What I'm saying is, will you be able to answer your kids, why do we do this? Do you know in your heart? Right now, it's being put in the structures that we're the parents, so to speak, are picking up the stone. We're putting them in place where it's structuring in your life. You may not even realize it, but there's a lot of structure going on, and it's foundational. So that way, when you get about this age, you'll go, "What is this about? Why do we do this?" And hopefully you're not doing it just because you have to do it, or you're supposed to do it, or that's just the way we've always done it. You're going to have to stand on your own, because somebody's going to shake your faith. Somebody's going to say, "Well, why do you believe that? That's crazy. People hadn't done that for years. Why do you believe that? Why this pile of stones? That's ridiculous, a pile of stones." It was there to have some reminder. This is the theme today, the foundation. Now, I never was very good at construction. I was a painter. I painted my way through college, and it was a blessing. As a matter of fact, there was this guy painting at our church, walking around. I don't know what to do. I mean, I don't know, you know, we had a small institute. It was maybe bigger than some, but about 25 students in our church. I planned to go to that. I didn't know how I was going to work. I didn't know what I was supposed to do, and I heard this music coming out of one of the buildings. And it was some quartet music that I enjoyed. I went up in there, and it was a man that was related to somebody I went to school with. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm just listening to this quartet music. I'm painting for the church." And I said, "Man, this is good." He said, "I used to be into rock music, and God changed my life, and my aunt gave me this music." And I named the names of the quartet. I knew who they were. And so anyway, he said, "Can you paint?" And I said, "Well, I'm a fast learner." I said, "My dad can paint." And my dad, it was old school. He painted with a brush about this wide and about that thick. And so it was funny the day David just first met him. And so anyway, I started at $2.50 an hour. And this is in 1980. This is back in the 1900s, before cell phones. 1987, I think. Yeah, about 1987. So $2.50 an hour. And then I worked up. And so anyway, skip to what I'm trying to get to here. We, right before we got married, this is in 1990, okay, I moved to Triple S to start working there. I was going to get married in April. And so I worked with somebody in the church who was in construction. This is my first day. And so they're digging for a footing, and I'm just starting to figure out, you know, this foundation. I get it all done, I can paint it and make it look good, you know, kind of the makeup guy for houses. But how it started, I'm just learning and watching them do that. And so it was the end of the day, and he's, you know, I was kind of the gopher. I mean, I'm just green. I forget, what was I, 22 probably, yeah. And so one of the workers there, he goes, hey, listen, it wasn't the boss now, it was one of the workers. He goes, hey, did you go out to the truck? And I really need that styrofoam stretcher. If you would, just go out there and get that and bring it to me. Okay. Man, I'm diligent. I'm working, man. I'm looking, and then it hits me. You can't stretch styrofoam. And I turn around and look, and they're just like, and they just bust out laughing. Okay, I see where we are now, styrofoam stretcher. So it's coming, guys. Don't worry. Your first job, they'll treat you right. They'll treat you right. So, but I watched as they would plumb it and measure and have the string set, and then they would just set that thing up and then put in the weld wire, which is that square. Sometimes people put it around their chicken houses and so forth. And I have chickens, by the way. I won't go there. But anyway, so just this stuff is down in here like a mesh, and then they pour the concrete, reinforce it, and I'm watching do all that. And I got to thinking about that for today. And sure enough, I get here, and you got some blocks, some concrete mix, some rebar. And do you know what rebar is? Who does not know what rebar is? Okay, who does not know? Okay, this is, well, actually, I have some in here. There's some down here on the display, these pieces of metal right here, that's rebar. And so I brought a couple with me here just for visual purposes. I preach better with visuals. I don't know why, but anyhow, stay on board. We're going somewhere. All right. This scripture says, the foundation of God stand is sure. Back in Timothy, okay, our theme verse. But the and part, look back at it. 2 Timothy 2:19. The Lord knoweth them that are His, and evidently, part of this foundation that's standing sure, part of this seal, part of the, okay, this is Timothy. And this is about the last thing that Paul is writing, okay, because he's going to finish his course. He's kept the faith. And so he's writing to young Timothy, the young pastor. And he's saying, not just you, Timothy, but you're preaching to everybody there at Ephesus. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I think we can say it this way. You might have the good start with this foundation here, but remaining on the sure foundation requires staying departed from iniquity. Is that in the context, preachers? Can we say that? I don't think you can say it any other way. Now, most of you here, now, there may be some that you're newer in the church maybe, and you just maybe recently been saved, but most of you here are probably a lot like me and how I grew up. You're growing up with a foundation of what is called the fundamental Baptist, which in its most biblical form is becoming very rare. We're not boasting that we're holding the last ones left. I'm just thankful to even be part of it. It's by the grace of God. But you are being structured with the doctrines and practices of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I like how Acts starts. It says, of all that Jesus began. You're part of what all that Jesus began, and it's continuing on. There's still some left. I hope you don't miss this. But you are privileged to be growing up in what I've started calling a remnant. Many churches have been started of all that Jesus began, and you are privileged to be part of that. Now, they're not going to come flooding in anymore because we're not having dance parties in the name of Jesus. You can't, that doesn't go together. It's like drinking alcohol in the name of Jesus. You can't do those things in the flesh. Those are sinful things. I don't want to get sad. But what I'm saying is, foundation includes staying departed from iniquity. That's what it includes. I told you we're heading toward costly stones. We're going to look back a little bit at the building of the foundation of the temple. Okay? And really help me what time I'm finishing here. I can put it on the next round flight, I mean, or something. Just, is it 11-ish? Okay. Okay, we're okay. So let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 6. Now, this is not hurry up and get through the preaching. This is why we came. Okay, so I've been working on this for a while. So 1 Kings chapter 6. Let's get something to help us in our life. 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 38. In the 11th year, in the month Bull, which is the 8th month, the house was the house finished throughout all the parts thereof, and according to the fashion of it, so was he 7 years in building it. So 7 years there. And look back at chapter 5 and verse 17. And the king commanded, and they brought great, what? Stones. About three people said that. Okay, maybe you didn't get there yet. 1 Kings 5:17. The king commanded, they brought great
stones.
What kind of stones?
Costly.
Costly stones. And huge stones to lay the foundation of the house. So this is the temple. This is what David had in his mind. And God said, no, David, your son can do it. And so he put everything in place so that Solomon could do this. And Solomon was given the wisdom to deal with this. What was he building? The temple. There was a move from the tabernacle and the curtains. And now this will be a permanent place for the Ark of the Covenant. What's something that was in the Ark of the Covenant? Just name the main thing. Oh, you know, I know you know this. Ten Commandments. And a couple of other things, okay, Aaron's rod and so forth. So he's building the temple, permanent place, the Ark of the Covenant. And so now the next question is, okay, what was Solomon building? Temple. He was also doing this with foundational stones. Now, the construction of these stones, I know this is simple, but I don't know how any other way to say it. Could one person make these stones? Now let me just show you. The stones for Solomon's house, and you can look ahead and see this, some of them were 12 to 15 feet in length, the foundational stones. The largest stone underground, I've been to Jerusalem, I've looked at these, okay? The largest stone underground, the Temple Mount, is 45 feet long, 13 feet wide, 570 tons. You think that'd be costly to make that stone? Now, it's just so simple. Could one person make that stone and be feasible to get the temple done in 7 years? Not a chance. Now, we know Solomon had all the servants and the workers, and we see it in Rehoboam. And it was so much work. It took a lot of people to just put together one of those stones. When I was in Jerusalem, I was on one of those tours. And they showed a video about how it was cut out. And because when they built the temple, they weren't working on the stones up in there. There was quiet. They had all the noise done before they got up to the temple. And so they took us down in and saw Solomon's quarries, how they dug those rocks out from under the ground. When they brought them up there, it was all quiet. And the Bible says all this. But I'm just saying, one person could, not even two people. It took a team of people to make those huge structural foundations. A team of people. Costly stones. Now, we think of costly stones as jewelry. Some of you ladies here probably have some nice jewelry that maybe your parents have given you for Christmas or something like that. And when I was thinking about this, it reminded me of when I was in India. Because, you know, on the dollar at the time I went, you could get some pretty neat stuff for cheap. As a matter of fact, I went souvenir shopping. I'm going to buy some stuff for my wife when I was in India. And I went to this purse little shop. And they're only about this wide, and there's like a million purses. And you walk down, it's a different world of shopping. Every American would be claustrophobic in India trying to shop. But anyway, that's just the way it was there on the roads and in the streets. And so go up in there, and I thought, man, these are $3. And the guy didn't say very much English. He goes, this is leather. This is 100% leather. This is leather. Okay, so I'm looking at this purse for $3, a leather purse. And I'm looking at it close, and it looked like leather to me. So I got it, and I got all the way home with it. And it was flaking off. I went, oh, man. And then I got to realizing, you know, in India, they worship cows. This is probably not leather. Yeah, did you know they worship cow? I actually saw a cow going from house to house, and they would feed the cow. This is why we need missionaries, to tell them the truth. Because the cow's not going to get you to heaven. And anyway, but I went to the jewelry. Now, this place I knew was going to be right, because I could get a string of pearls, and the Hyderabad pearls. I mean, it was a thing, you know, nice little pouch it goes in. I got it for $30. So I did get a nice set of pearls for $30. But then I got this thing that was gold earrings, you know, and then found out it wasn't quite as much gold as it should have been. Anyway, why'd I say that? Just to keep you listening. Costly stones. Why is a huge, ugly stone so costly? Because of all that was invested in it. Oh, sure, it's not a pearl. It's not a diamond. But of all that's put into it, time is money. All that's put into that, costly stones. Let's go to another place in the Bible, Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the what? Cost. Whether he have sufficient to finish it. Less happily after he hath laid the what? Foundation. And is not able to finish it. All that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build, was not able to finish. One time I preached a message to kids, some of you may remember it, called Almost Home. And I showed the video of this house that we were going to burn down. It was in our neighborhood because the guy had a chop shop and he was building this house off of money he made from stealing parts off of cars, and he never finished it. He got caught before it happened. I heard he got saved eventually, but we showed a video of this house burning. But I watched that house several years. It just sat there and it never got finished, and then it never became that man's home. Why? Because it was built wrong. It was built out of stolen stuff. So, but the cost. What I'm trying to help us see today is there's a lot of investing going on in your life right now. A whole lot of investing of people's time, of people's money, of people's love. Not just your parents. You're fortunate to have the parents. And I know some of you in here, your parents may not be serving the Lord, but you can serve the Lord. Don't use the excuse, well, my parents quit. There are people that should be here now. Their parents had trouble, but they quit. They didn't have to. I know it's harder. I get that. But with the Lord's help, can anybody make it with the Lord's help? Anybody can. Instead of just throwing it in. Now, we don't go down, we don't beat down those that say, well, you ought to be. What I'm saying is, you know some that maybe should be serving the Lord or not. You just pray for them. and be the right example. And say, well, what's the use? My brother, my sister, my mom, my dad, they've gone also. What's the use? There's a whole lot of use. A lot of people have invested in your life. And isn't it worth it to be naming the name of Christ Jesus? It's worth it to not have iniquity. So we're going to do some evaluating. Now, if you haven't been taking notes, you should start right now, okay? This is going to be an evaluation. This is a test you're giving yourself. No one else will see this. But this, we went to a men's advance and this evaluation came. And I think it's good for us to do something at meetings like this, to evaluate. We're going to do several questions. We're just asking ourselves here. I think I've got four main questions. Number one, let's put it in personal form. Ask yourself, do I value my godly foundation? Do I value that? Now we're riding along. You're riding along through your teen years. And your parents know that you love them. But in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. It doesn't mean we join it. It's just a fact of the age, okay? And part of what's on that list is unthankfulness. That doesn't mean, well, part of the last days. No, it says, from such turn away. Just because these things are going on the last days doesn't mean you just say, well, what's the use? But I see young people doing this. Listen, just simply being thankful. I'm so thankful for my kids honoring me. It means a lot. My kids, well, Andrew and Lauren are at home, and they're a blessing. But right now, we got a wedding coming on the 26th. Sarah's getting married, and it's just miraculous. God raised up a young man in our church, and I'm just I'm tickled pink, or maybe it's blue. That would be better. yeah. But right now, they're traveling. Brother Copes from Heartland called earlier this year and said, just sort of, Lord, laid an idea on my heart to ask you about. What do you think about Joshua and Lindsay, traveling and representing? He already traveled 2 years for a quartet. And then he said, well, I asked them. I mean, I thought they was done. They're settling into an apartment. He's just trying to finish his training. And well, then he said, well, what about Caleb going with them? Well, I mean, I'm honored you to ask, but yeah, I mean, just ask them. And then, well, I know Sarah's been a secretary for a couple of years, but what do you think? I know she's going to get married too, but what do you think about her going too? And I said, well, she said, we'd like to send out a VBS team and a singing team too, what's called ministry team. And I said, well, just talk to them. Well, just recently, we're scheduled to have Sam Davis in our church in October. And I texted him just confirming it, and he said, a pastor in California texted me, I think his name was Rasmussen or something, but he said, in 25 years, this is the best college singing group that we've had at our church. Now, he said it to my kids, I've trained my kids, look, I mean, people is a blessing. We're just trying to be a blessing to people. I said, we don't need no big head, okay? And so they took it as he probably says that to maybe a lot of the groups, but he texted it to Sam Davis, and that's more than just that was a blessing. I'm just saying it's a blessing. You're seeing a honored parent. That's what you're looking at. And I know these are tears, but they're happy tears. Yeah. But there was a lot invested in their foundation. And I don't regret any of it. Amen. And it generationally goes on. Now I've got grandkids. Now I see the age. Right now, when you talk and fellowship, you talk about the things that you're doing, okay? Then you get a little bit older, and then you talk about the things that your kids are doing. We passed that one now. I mean, I'm still there a little bit because some of them are not. But now I'm talking about my grandkids. And I'm 49. I'm a young granddad. Young granddad. I'm getting sidetracked. Do you value your godly foundation. Question to you. You don't have to write this down, but are you just biding your time until you turn 18? Surely not. Surely not. Surely you're not just putting on a show. When I'm 18, I'm out of here. I'm tired of these rules. You're crazy. You better be thankful that you've had the protection, the investment in what you have. Because you've got it good. How do you know this? I've recently become chaplain of the sheriff's office in Cleburne County. I got a badge. Some of you saw it at camp. I don't feel like I've earned a badge yet, but I've got one. And it's a blessing sometimes if I've been in the court just observing and helping the bailiffs. I still have my uniform on. Go out to eat right afterwards, get a little discount. It's nice. Only, you know, I don't put it on right before I go to every restaurant, just if I've been in court. I'm trying not to be a mooching officer or anything. But we visit the bean holes at the jail cell doors. It's just a little flap that comes open. They're covering for me. They covered last night. And the stories. One kid, you could see it in his eyes. He had just turned 18 and something happened. He was in there. Do you value godly foundation? Number two, do I invest in my godly foundation? 2 Samuel 24:24, King David said to Araunah, "Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord of that which doth cost me nothing." You're just riding this ride. What are you doing with your time? The heritage of your time is important. Put it on a grid. We're talking about reinforced concrete, and that weld wire is a grid, okay? It looks like a fence. And so they put it, not every foundation is this way, but a lot of them they do. They'll put this whole piece after piece after piece of that grid in there to give that sure foundation. I'm going to give some more quotes here in just a second here, but do you invest in it? Is there something that you have done? Ask yourself this. What do I do in my alone time? Write that question down. What do I do in my alone time? Some of you have probably just been entrusted with a cell phone. I'm telling you, the cell phone is liable to be our demise. And unless God gets a hold of that. There are people, families, like myself, we don't even have cable TV, but we have phones. And I'm telling you, it's going to take over. Perhaps you've been trusted, but what is on the grid of your time? In your alone time, are you surfing the whatever thing that you're into? What are we doing? If you don't set those times, you're going to get overweight in the fluff of this world. I'm not looking at anything bad. Yes, but what about investing our time? If there's some purpose, if you're looking to see what your missionary is doing over there, there's some good things, but man, I'm telling you, it can chew our time to pieces, all right? I'm going to try to get a couple more of these and I'll wrap this up. Number three, do you have the priority? All right, maybe I should put it like this. Do I have the priority of letting the Lord build on my godly foundation? Except the Lord build the house. Let me say it again. Do I have the priority of letting the Lord build on my godly foundation? Except the Lord build the house. Are you desiring of the foundation team? It took a team to make those temple stones. A team. Are you desiring of that team to help you, to help your life have a continued godly structure? Let me read a little bit about this structure and we'll pick up where we left off. Why Why do we use things to reinforce concrete? Why do the constructionists use things to reinforce the concrete? Why use the rebar and the weld wire and those things? I'm reading you right from Google, which is always right, right? It resists not only compression, but also bending and other direct tensile actions, okay? There's a couple of words we can look at right there. Resist compression. Is there some pressure in your life at this time to get into iniquity? Is there some pressure? Is there? I'm just warning you, compression is coming. Pressure is coming. We sometimes use the word peer pressure to say it's at all ages. Bending. We're not supposed to be blown about with every wind of doctrine. The earth settles. The earth moves. Okay? And these things are placed in there to keep the foundation from losing its structure from compression and bending. Tensile stresses. And we don't use the word tensile much. It's not tinsel like you put on a Christmas tree. Tensile. And I had to look it up. It just simply means tensile stresses is tension. You have any tension sometimes? Tension? Little rubbing of the wrong way, somebody maybe, no, something not going quite right. These tension stresses may cause unacceptable cracking and or structural failure. Hey, teen life can get intense. The stress of thinking you're smart enough to know what you're doing. Y'all, I've lost you, okay? You're not smart enough to know what you're doing. But you can. The wisdom of God is available. But if we say, hey, I got this thing, you're headed for destruction. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. This is one of our memory verses from a past VBS. It's in your brain somewhere. You're not smart enough to know what you're doing. You goof. Sometimes you goof and start fires. Right, Bryson? Or something like that. Things happen. You think, man, this is going to be neat. Boof. See, I've had brain surgery, but I don't miss much. I can't. We're going to pick up where we left off. And I'll give you this question and we'll walk away from it and come back to it, okay? Just try to keep you on board. Are we good if we quit right here? We got it right on time. You got the priority one, right? Do I need to repeat that one again? Do I have the priority of letting the Lord build on our godly foundation? And then number four, is my life just a pile of good Legos? Legos. You know how to spell Legos? L-E-G-O. Plural S. You need that. And we're going to pick up from there. But listen. Just to let you know where we're going. We're the temple of God. I think the temple ought to have the best foundation stones possible. Amen. We're going to hit this again. Costly stones. Are you investing? Or are you just tolerating? This is a message. We're not done yet. But I'm gonna stop here because of time. But listen, let the Holy Spirit work in your life today. And get to investing in this. Get to being thankful for it. Get to making sure that these people that are on the team building that foundation stone, putting in the rebar and making sure you're thankful for it, letting them know, honor thy father and thy mother. Isn't that a commandment with promise, right? So that's where we're going. Hold that thought. Let's pray. Lord, we love you.